Hi, friends. Welcome to True Crime Storytime. I am your host, Ivana Estelle, and we are into episode 2 of our season, Serial Killers. I have got to be candid. I swore that today's episode was a serial killer case. This person did such terrible things, but then, as I did more research, I realized we have an alleged serial killer on our hands. I know. I should have had this in the bag, and I should tell a story about a serial killer. That's confirmed. But honestly, this case is still unfolding, and the one person who is telling us that we do, in fact, have a bona fide serial killer in our midst is the victim. Hold on to your seats. I need to tell you everything there is to know about Timothy Hazlett Jr. Missouri, what's going on? I mean, Bertha Gifford, Gypsy Rose, Ken McElroy, Robert Berdella, the list goes on. That state alone, I know there are a few options for a serial killer that I could have covered today. But I felt like there's something about this particular case that just is going to stick with you. Missouri makes me think of my boss. He lived there for years with his family before moving to DC. My boyfriend went to college there, Mizzou. The state is known for its suburbs and that St. Louis isn't anything to mess with. So when I heard about Excelsior Springs, I thought much of the same. The city is located along the East Fork Rushing River in the Clay and Ray counties. Yes, I noticed the rhyme. The city itself is small. It's a total of about 10.45 square miles. The cluster of neighborhoods making up a community of about 11,000 people. The location itself was founded because of the natural spring water and is known for old working class people. Excelsior Springs is known as a renewed historic district. The quaint area may make you think of a post-apocalyptic world coming back to life. A place known for empty buildings and antique stores and small bistros along the unpaved roads. It has two theaters that are known to be the hotspot of the area. The school district is small and its public library is a branch of the Mid-Continent Public Library system. And it's got its own police department. You wouldn't recognize the name of any celebrity that came from the area. It's known as a good place with good, hardworking people. A quaint middle-class town with old diners where everything is local and each business owner knows each other by name. I mean it when I say nothing bad happens here. Which is why October 2022 was supposed to be a regular time of the year, preparing for fall. The small neighborhood in Excelsior Springs should have been calm this particular Friday. For most, people were gearing up for the weekend. The weather was slowly beginning to change, and the haunted Halloween season was approaching. Lisa Johnson, a nurse, was getting ready for her Friday shift. It was about 7:40 in the morning, and she puttered around her kitchen while her coffee warmed up, the news playing lightly in the background. That is when out of her window there was a figure, thundering towards her home. A young girl hurtled barefoot in a short black ripped latex dress. She had shot out of a small rental home about 100 yards back. She was bloodied and bruised and petrified. She frantically banged on Lisa's door, begging, crying out, "Help me, help me." Lisa heard the desperate plea and looked out the window to see a black girl, not older than 22, crawling up the outside steps. Lisa, who was 41 and seasoned in her career as a nurse, married to a city council worker, Thomas Johnson, was horrified. This was something out of a movie. She looked at the figure outside of her pale blue house and realized quickly that the young woman had a metal homemade device around her neck, like some sort of lock and chain. She had cut tape that was pulled down underneath her chin that clearly had once been covering her mouth. She was malnourished, no more than 70 pounds, her hair short and matted to her head. Lisa noticed that she did not cry, but it could honestly have been because the young woman was too dehydrated to produce out of her tear ducts. Lisa called out that she was going to call the police, and the victim's response sent chills down Lisa's spine. If you call the cops, he will kill us both, said the young woman. Lisa replied, who? And this is when the young woman told Lisa the unthinkable. That she'd been held captive by a man down the road. That he wouldn't let her go. And that she wasn't always alone. She had two friends who'd been murdered. Lisa tried to collect herself. She worked in healthcare. She'd seen a lot. But this was something new, and before she could even help the young woman, the girl had moved down the driveway to another neighbor's house. Sierra Tharp, a black woman who was just shy of 40, was getting ready for her workday with the help of her grandmother who was babysitting her young son. She was in the other room when her grandmother heard the yelling and pleading of that 22-year-old woman. The grandmother let her in the home, locking the door quickly behind her. Her grandmother brought her in, wrapped a blanket around her, and went and got some food and water. The young woman was pretty hungry. Sierra said, quote, my grandma sat with her and held her until the police came. The woman, in between nervous bites, explained, quote, you've got to help me. I've been held captive. I've been raped. You've got to help me. He's going to end up killing me. She'd been kept in a basement by a man, and when he left, she assumed to take his son to school, she opened up the door. She let his dog run out the door, and she just took off. As the woman told her story, her metal collar gripped her neck, making it hard for her to breathe. She didn't specify this time how many people were killed, but she said that her friends were murdered by this monster. The grandmother was able to calm the woman down until police arrived, and that is when the story continued. Police were able to remove the collar that had prongs attached to it from the woman's throat. She was less frantic at this point and was able to better explain. She'd been missing since September. She'd been out with friends in Kansas City when a man picked her up. A few things aren't specified, the first being the victim's name. It's phenomenal for her privacy because the things that happened to her are ones you only see in a Saw movie. And she deserved to be protected at this point. But because I know more about the witnesses than the victim, it makes me feel like they have not learned it yet either. It also isn't clear if she was a missing person. Was anyone looking for her? And we don't know the scenario in which this woman was picked up. But quite frankly, good. I don't care whether it was a party night out with girls, if she thought this guy was nice and offered a ride home, if it was a date gone bad, it was a non-consensual abduction that landed this young woman in a basement of the home of Timothy Hazlett Jr. She was able to identify him, his home, and everything he'd done to her, which included continuous torture for days on end, beatings, whippings, choking, a key with a padlock around her neck, continuously being raped, and allegedly Timothy murdering her friends in front of her. Timothy Hazlett Jr. Who the hell was he? This man who had kept a woman in his basement for a month, handcuffed, who barely fed her, kept her in a rape dungeon. Not a sex engine. She wasn't a sex slave. This was a horrific, evil experience. This man did what he wanted to with her, every chance he got. And on October 7th, the world would find out everything. Everardo Miranda, another neighbor in this quaint town, stood outside as more police piled onto the street with a helicopter above. Everardo thought, finally, whatever is happening in that home has to be animal related. He assumed Timothy had multiple animals on the property. It was a small, shabby little house with not much upkeep. Everardo didn't have the best relationship with Timothy. He claimed Timothy's dog had tried to attack his fiance and that the guy was difficult all around. He was on his way back from taking his son to school in his gray Dodge Ram pickup truck. Cops hauled him in via traffic stop on an unrelated animal control violation, so Everardo was half right. But he had no idea how much more sinister Timothy Hazlett's capabilities were. The young woman was able to identify Timothy's home and name, and it didn't take long for police to place him in custody. The 39-year-old white, full-faced man with a hefty beard and distressed hair was surprised. First, that he was arrested. Then that he was charged with multiple counts of torture, kidnapping, and rape. And finally, that the young woman had set herself free from his clutches. Timothy had lived in the Kansas City metro area since 2010. then made his way to Independence, Missouri, until around 2015. It's unclear where he was for the next 2 years, but by 2017, he settled in Excelsior Springs. Timothy originally hailed from Marion County in southern Illinois. He attended school in Patoka, Illinois, and resided in nearby Vernon until around 2008. He was one to keep to himself. He didn't have many friends or family, except for Lindsay Metcalf, a 33-year-old who he met and married in 2013 in Independence, Missouri. The two ended up having their son. However, a few years later, in 2016-2017, the two divorced, based on Timothy's filing. He maintained joint legal custody of the child and became the primary custodial parent. After petitioning the court, the boy primarily resided with him at the house in the 300 block of Old Orchard Avenue, along with their dog. As the years went by, you know what? Wait a minute. I just want to solidify. He somehow had sole custody of his 8-year-old son by 2022. He took his child to and from school. He was a single father and managed to abduct and brutalize a woman secretly for an entire month. It just doesn't feel real. But what I'm about to tell you next may make some sense. See, Timothy was not responsible for paying child support, but his ex-wife had to pay $400 in child support each month, since the boy only lived with her every other weekend and one evening each week. Timothy spent years working as a Union Railroad employee. His public Facebook profile listed him most recently as an employee at M&H Contractors, a Kansas City-based subcontractor that does rail maintenance work. Though the company says he has not been employed since about June of 2020, it was unclear where his place of employment was at the time of his arrest that Friday. Timothy stayed low and out of criminal record. He had never been charged with anything above a traffic infraction. He does have at least 21 moving violations across Missouri and Illinois, as court records show, but have a car in DC and you'll double that in 6 months. So what possessed him to do this? Well, just because he hadn't been caught yet doesn't mean he's not a villain. Timothy's Facebook was nothing short of a far-right rhetoric. He'd say things like, "The race war started a long time ago. Wake up, you dumb bitch." In another post, he professed his belief that Breonna Taylor deserved to die, saying, quote, "I honestly cannot remember once in my life hearing a black person take responsibility for anything except looting and rioting." In another post, he goes into detail about his beliefs that black people are lesser forms of humans than white people, saying, quote, "When they decide to act like my equal, then we can discuss their equality." Most of his other posts were the same. And yeah, he's an asshole, that much is clear. But it doesn't make him guilty. Except, did I mention before that the woman he had abducted was a young black woman? A perfect target based on his past views. The same type of woman he thought so little of. But it was when police obtained a warrant to search his home that everything was solidified. Timothy had created a makeshift chamber in the basement where he kept at least one victim tied and shackled up by arms and feet. Neighbors caught wind of the arrest, the subsequent $500,000 bond, and were not surprised. He was described as a loner, someone who kept to himself, and just strange. Timothy had told at least one neighbor he quit his job in 2020, and from then, the neighbors noticed immediately after that Timothy received multiple parcel deliveries every day. There was a large child's trampoline that was in the yard in the back, and where he parked his truck on the weekends, there were mounds of junk and other debris. Timothy was immediately arrested. His son was given to the custody of his ex-wife, his son's mother, Lindsay. On December 2nd, 2022, Timothy, in his pinstripe jail suit, attended a custody hearing regarding his son as he waited his fate on the kidnapping case. He claims his ex-wife is trying to cut him off from their son through a temporary restraining order and trying to modify their custody agreement, which, duh, you are in jail for violent crimes. The judge granted the request for the restraining order following Timothy's arrest. The judge determined Timothy's ex-wife presented enough evidence to support her claims. Timothy wrote a letter to the judge stating that he doesn't believe that the hearing is needed. However, it is as if he thinks he's going to beat this case, because in the letter, he wrote, quote, "As to the nature of the allegations against me, while I understand the allegations are serious, they are nothing more than that. The state has not yet entered any facts onto the record against me, nor have I been allowed to enter any in my defense, which there are plenty of. I do not believe the allegations against me, which I have constitutional right to the presumption of innocence of, meet the standard of a preponderance of evidence required to grant an order of protection. He doesn't believe the allegations should be held against him when it comes to the custody of his son." He also wrote that he is not charged with hurting either his ex-wife or his son, and that he does not pose a threat to either one. Now, there hasn't been anything to come out that he had ever abused his son, and there hasn't been anything to come out that he had ever abused his ex-wife. But just because it wasn't reported doesn't mean it didn't happen. Watching Timothy in court saunter around with his shoulders slouched and his uncaring attitude, he doesn't claim to be a threat to other people. But then why hurt her? This young woman claimed that she had what we know of as about two friends who he killed. The question is, are police trying to follow up on these other allegations? Was this young woman serious about watching her friends get killed, or was this a young black woman who feared that she wouldn't be believed? Like Timothy said, he doesn't think he poses even a threat to anyone else. That's how little he thinks of his actions. So maybe she added this to legitimize what happened to her. Or was she confused? Being locked away for so long, maybe this was in her mind. Well, police are looking into it and trying to verify if these other people exist. Neighbors at least believe it's possible. Timothy, this hoarder, racist abuser, who was taking his son to school while keeping someone captive to beat, mutilate, and rape at his disposal. It's not hard to believe that there is someone else out there that could be a victim. Besides, she knew everything about him. Do we really think after a month of captivity he was going to what? Let her go? And her story never changed. Not when talking to neighbors, not when talking to police, or driving by in the hospital and pointing out Timothy's house. She kept saying that he murdered her friends. She also described the basement perfectly, as well as the cadaver dogs searching the area. They were able to track her scent. And honestly, she's brave. She escaped and was able to live to tell the tale. Who knows how many other lives she could have saved in the process. As of now, Timothy Haslett Jr. is charged with 9 counts, including rape, sodomy, kidnapping, assault, and endangering the welfare of a child. Timothy is being held in the Clay County Detention Center on a $3 million bond. If found guilty, he faces up to 5 life sentences and another 36 years in prison. Timothy Haslett Jr. told the judge he plans to apply for a public defender to represent him in the case. Timothy is still incarcerated, and police continue their pursuit on finding more possible victims. Investigators are currently looking for a 36-year-old woman named Janie M. Crosdale, who was identified as a potential witness in the Excelsior Springs rape and kidnapping investigation involving Timothy Haslett. Janie's last known address was in Kansas City. Quote, "We have been unable to locate Ms. Crosdale, but we believe she has information about the investigation and ask her to contact us as soon as possible," read a social media post from the Excelsior Springs Police and Clay County Sheriff's Office. So, is she a witness or another possible victim? As for this young woman who remains nameless, her name could be Mackenzie or Stephanie or Grace or Donna. She could be you or your sister, aunt, friend, girlfriend, fiance, wife. She's a 22-year-old woman who escaped things we see in horror movies. Seriously, Think about all the movies that come out starring a Halle Berry or a Liam Neeson, or books like The Girl Who Escaped, series like the Netflix drama You. Sometimes they have these somewhat happy endings. There is a hero, vindication, and the young woman is saved in just the nick of time. In this case, this girl saved herself when the dog was let out, when Timothy took his son to school, where he dropped him off, waved to teachers, picked up flyers for sporting events. This woman found a way to escape after a month of torture, being starved and abused and held captive, and starting the night with two friends, but ending up alone. She truly is a hero, and so are the neighbors who helped her and took her in and made sure she knew that she was safe now. Thank you all for joining me. I will have updates as they come on this case. This story was made very well known with the help of TikTok, and just social justice when people come together really matters. Let's hope we get the answer soon on if Timothy really is a serial. Killer. For our true crime fact of the episode, it's actually about a serial killer, a verified bona fide one. I won't be covering him this season, but he is one I suggest you look into. Mac Ray Edwards was a serial killer who works for Caltrans. He'd kill his victims and then bury the bodies in places he would later help build the highways over. Not all his victims have been found, and many are very likely still under some of the California highways you may have driven over countless times. Thank you for joining me today. I am looking for shows to watch and share on this platform, so if you have any that I should listen to, please DM me. And I haven't said this in a while, but 5 stars, babe. Please rate. I could use it. Comment, share this show with your friends and family. Go on Reddit and shout me out. We are trying to grow this season. With that being said, safe journey. Keep walking in the light. Until next time, with love, Ivana Estelle.